So we are holding on Gimel Amud Aleph. We're holding four lines from the bottom. We've been discussing like this. The Mishnah had said as follows: for kol shirtin, anybody can shech, the shchitasim ksheva, and the shchita is kosher, which the Gemara said sounds like a kol shirtin implies that there's a certain kind of person who even lahatchila is allowed to shech, even though you think maybe he shouldn't. Shchitasim ksheva implies that there's some other kind of person somehow related to that, where they can only shech the diyeved, lahatchila they shouldn't be. And then you have the Mishnah continues, except the shirt of a cotton, where the shchita is possible because they may unit, they may do one of the things that passes the shchita. And then we said, all of them, if they shechted and other people are watching them shech, then the shchita is kosher, because then we can see nothing went wrong. So we're trying to figure out what's the lachchila and what's the bidiyevin, and what's the b'cholon. So far, the Gemara had like this. We had Rabba Ba'ula said that the lachchila and bidiyevin are the cases of a tamei shechting. Lachchila, if he's shechting cholon shenasu al taras hakodesh, so they're chulin, but they're being kept to the standards of kodshin. You would think that you're not supposed to be metame them, midrabanan, so you'd think the chachila atomei shouldn't be shechting them. We're saying that it's okay if atomei can chachila even shech them as long as he uses a long knife and is careful not to touch it. The b'diyavid would be a atomei shechting kodshin, because there you have an isadjarai to make them atomei. That was the first explanation. Then we had two, that was one explanation. Then we had the four abaya, Abaya gave an explanation that the lachchila and b'di'evit is referring to a kusi shechting. That lachchila is allowed only if it, first Abaya said that it's allowed only. Oh, one second. We just started a second ago.
Where are we holding?
We're holding four lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. I was recapping.
What's
Gimel Amud Aleph? Four lines from the bottom.
Okay.
Recapping what the Gemara is saying so far. So, again, we were trying to figure out what's the Lachchila, what's the B'di'evid. So we had Rabba Ba'ula that the Lachchila and B'di'evid are referring to a Tomei. Abaya saying that's referring to a Kusi. The Lachchila, that he can check when Yisrael is watching him. The B'di'evid is if Yisrael is Yotz B'nichnas. Rabba objected to that on the basis of a Gemara, on the basis of the Shnayat in Avodah Zarah, where it implies that where it seems that Yosef and Nichnas is fine. So Rabba instead explains, right, okay, Yosef and Nichnas is even Mutl Hachila. The B'di'evid is only if you found that he already shechted, then the B'di'evid is you have to offer him a piece of it and see if it's okay. So those are three explanations so far. So now we're up to the fourth one. Rav Ashi, Mahochi Katan. The Mishnah means like this. Hakol Shirstin, what does it mean, Hakol Shirstin, the part that means the Lachchila, you have somebody who you would think can't check the Lachchila, but the Mishnah wants to tell you he could, that would be Vafel Yisrael Mumer. That would mean even Yisrael Mumer. Now, Mumer can have a couple of different meanings. I mean, the basic meaning of Mumer, or really Shumer, it's supposed to be an uncensored Gemara or whatever, means a Yid who's changed from what he should be, or so it could be, sometimes you talk about it, Mumer L'Avodah Zarah. And sometimes you talk about a mumer for some other individual. Sometimes you talk about mumer l'cholatara kula, or for avodah zarah, which we'll deal with later, is like cholatara kula, or may or may not be like cholatara kula. Hold on. We have to figure that out. Here we're saying Yisrael mumer. The word mumer can mean mumer l'cholatara kula, where he doesn't believe in any mitzvah. It can mean mumer l'avodah zarah, which where he keeps other mitzvahs. We're going to discuss later on whether he has the status of a goy or not. And then you have a mumer for Dover Echad. There's one particular mitzvah that he refuses to keep, which within that you have the two famous possibilities. You have L'Tei Oven and you have L'Hachel. You have he's doing it because of pleasure. So like, for example, you know, a mumer, let's say, who eats Shreifas. You can have the one, he doesn't badavka want to eat Shreifas. He'll eat it because it's cheaper or it's easier, it's more easily available or whatever. But if you give him kosher to meat and it's available just as easily, he has no problem eating it. Mashenka, and then you have a mumer lahachis, where badavka will eat the Shreifas even if the kosher meat is just as easily available because he's doing it to anger Hashem. Okay, so we're saying about Philly through a mumer. Okay, so before we continue with Rav Ashi's explanation that we're saying that he's through a mumer can check lachchila, so first we have to figure out, yeah, what kind of mumer are we talking about? Mumer l'mai. What is he a mumer for? That means lechel nevelas l'tei oven. We mean the kind who eats nevela l'tei, or other kinds of tzrei, well, specifically here nevela, because we're talking about shchita, l'tei oven, he eats it just because it's tasty. Again, not lachachet, he's not doing it to anger Hashem, he's doing it because it's more easily and conveniently available.
Excluding
Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah we'll get to later, right? So right now we're talking about even more Oichel Nevelos L'Tei Oven. The Chidir Oven, and the reason why it works for him to be able to shech even the Hatzilah, is, like Rava says, Omar Rava, Yisrael Mumur Oichel Nevelos L'Tei Oven. If you have this case, Yisrael Mumur who eats Nevelos L'Tei Oven. So again, he's not going to be daft to eat Yisrael. He is going to eat Heter if it's available. He just won't go to the trouble of doing what it takes to get Heter. So therefore, for example, if he doesn't have a knife that's already been checked to make sure that it's good for shechting, then he's not going to bother. He's not going to bother looking for a good knife. He's not going to bother sharpening a knife if it has a nick in it or whatever. But if you give him a good knife, boy, just stop him the knife tonight. You can check a knife. A regular yid can check a knife, make sure that it has no kedimus or anything, the knife tonight, and give it to him to shech. Umota lachal b'shmishkatase, and then you're allowed to eat from his shechita. That would be lo hachilah case.
Of this Yisrael Mumma.
That you, a regular Yid, can give this Yisrael Mumma, Oichon Nevelos L'Tei Oven, you can give him a pre-checked knife, and he can go ahead and check even L'Hachilah. We're not concerned, as Tosfos explains, we're not concerned that he might passel the Shechita with one of the five things that passels it, because remember, he's only L'Tei Oven. He's not going to dabka do something to avoid eating
shortcut.
Yeah, basically, only for the shortcut, exactly. And also, Tosfos points out another thing also. This mumur eichel nevelos l'tei oven, we're talking about, you could sort of say, I mean, even though he's a mumur eichel nevelos l'tei oven, he's first a shtickle baal maila, according to what Torah is supposed to say. He will be careful on lifnei iver. He himself doesn't care if he treifas but he won't be machshel another yid. So therefore, there's no possibility, Tosfos says, that we should have to be choshish, so even if you're not watching him to make sure the shtickle was proper, if anything went wrong with it, he would tell us before we went and ate from it. He himself might not mind eating from it.
So okay. One question. He
yeah.
does this with the tavern,
yeah.
but not from Amaratus. He knows the halacha, right?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, could be he knows the halacha. Okay. So the difference is, Tosfos says, with the kusi we were discussing before, you can't give him a knife. There you actually have to be watching him the whole time, according to Abaya, Yosef and Nichnas, according to Rava. The reason is because with the kusi, he's not concerned about Lifnei Iver. On the other hand, Tosfos says the fact that you have the other way around, though, which is the Yisrael Mumer has something in which he's worse than the Kusi, namely the Yisrael Mumer still considers himself, as far as he, in his own eyes, he's 100% a Jew. Therefore,
a kosher
Jew, yeah. Therefore, he doesn't think that you might check the knife afterwards, so therefore you have to make sure that the knife is pre-checked before you give it to him. You can't say, well, let him check, and afterwards we'll check the knife and make sure it was intact, because he may not have that nusa. He may figure that we're not going to bother because we figure he's a fellow yid, and then we're not going to check his knife. Okay, so that's the one case that l'chila he's allowed to check. But if you didn't check a knife beforehand and give it to him, you shouldn't allow him to check with his own knife, again, because he may take shortcuts and decide he'll just check with whatever knife he has available, even if it's not a good knife. If he shechted, okay, then after the fact, then you have to check the knife after, you have to check the knife after him, to make sure that there were no problems with it, because again, he won't have bothered to check.
Other opinions don't know about this.
No, well, this is Rav Ashi's explanation of our mission. Nimtis sakina yot. But if it turns out that after the fact that the knife is good, there's no nicks or anything in it, good. Muta lachal b'shchitasa, then you're allowed to eat from his shchita. V'im lav also lachal b'shchitasa, but if not, then you're not allowed to eat from his shchita. So that would be the bidiyah. By the way, later on, we'll go through the sugya over here. We'll say that eventually we'll get to that not always is it strictly necessary to check the knife afterwards. In fact, there can be cases, for example, you have a case. If the knife is available, you are supposed to check it. You are supposed to check it after the shritah. And if after you find the nick in it, then there can be a problem because we'll learn later on. Conceivably, it could have gotten nicked before you even got to the simon. Shema ba'or nikkuma. It might have even gotten nicked while you're starting to cut through the skin of the animal.
Oh,
so then, well, not either. It's a suffix garaita. So yeah, but the point is. On the other hand, if let's say the knife is unavailable, let's say right after the shit of the knife has gotten lost, usually you can be famous on that most of the time it's okay. It's only if you check it and then you find a reyes, then you have to worry. Here, because the guy is Yisrael Mumer, Rav Ashi is telling us, the Mishnah is saying, you have to check his knife after the fact no matter what. There's nothing about that if it's not available then it's okay, because yeah. Okay, then the Mishnah continues, chut mecheresh shor to the cotton, except for a cheresh shor to the cotton, dafilu b'yevet nami loy, then that you can't even eat from their shchita b'yevet, because you have a problem, again, shemi yishu v'shemi yidu through v'shemi yachlidu, they may do one of the five things that passes shchita, again, we'll only mention three, because the other two you could find physical simonim of afterwards, but the point is they might have done one of these things without realizing it, because they're not b'nei das. And then again, the question is, as we've had with each of the other explanations, v'cholon sheshachtu aheya, which cases then is the v'cholon sheshachtu of the next part of the Mishnah, that if any of them shechted and Yisrael is omer on gavon, then it's good. What is that referring to? Ilema acheres shoytu v'cholon. Can it be referring to the cheres shoytu v'cholon? No, because as the Gemara has said a few times, alakoi, we just got done mentioning them. Therefore, the imshachtu mivayalei, so the usual expression would be the imshachtu, it's they, meaning the last people we just mentioned, shechted. Eli Yisrael Mumah. So evidently, it has to be referring to this Yisrael Mumah, those are the earlier cases of the Mishnah. Well, then, what's the case? If the case is that you check the knife before you gave it to him, you don't need Yisrael Omer Al Gabo. So why would the Mishnah be saying, if Yisrael is Omer Al Gabo, then it's kosher? The El of the Lord Bodak, are you talking about that you didn't check the knife? So why do you say you need Yisrael Omer Al Gabo? If the knife is still there, check the knife. Livdekei Ashton, then you should check the knife. And if the sakin is no longer available, how does it help if somebody else was watching him during the shkita? He might have been using all this time. He might have been using a knife with a pzimah. And you don't have the knife available to check, and you can't, he has no nemonis to ask him whether the knife was good, because the mumah is from the veil.
Yeah, the Gemara argues the opinion about Rashi.
So we're arguing on Rav Ashi's opinion. We're saying that we have a problem understanding the word v'chulon. Just like we had a problem with Abaya's explanation and with Rava's modification of Abaya's explanation, where the problem is that the v'cholon doesn't seem to fit, because either it's a case where it's mutl v'hakchila, or it's a case where it's not mutl even b'dievet. You don't have any middle ground over there. In Rava about all those cases where you have a tamei shechted kodshim, then you can be talking about v'hakchila and b'dievet, because you can say, if he's available to ask, then you ask him, and if not, then you have to have people watching. But with the kusi, you can't do that, because he doesn't hold up with neighbor. With this mumo from the bailiff, you can't do that, because he has no nemonos. So where's the gray area? It could be allowed, but only if acher and roin. So again, kasha, it's a kasha. Again, it's not a stira. And the Gemara will point out later. I mean, each of these six Amiroyim that we're going to quote still sticks to their opinion. They don't consider the Abaya and Rava, and now Rav Ashi, don't consider the Kasha to be such a big Kasha, because they would say, okay, the fact of the matter is, you just mentioned three people before that in the Mishnah, Cheresh Shoto V'Pam. So you could say the Cholam is just meant to stress that it means the next part that we're saying, Achayim Roin Ogaba. Achayim and Ogaba refers to all three of them. Don't think maybe it only refers to one or two.
Okay.
No, the Cheresh, the Shoto, and the Pam.
But not the
Mumah. Right. So Rav Ashi can answer, and similarly Abaya can Rava, and Abaya and Rava can answer in their answer, that it's not referring back to the Mumah, it's not referring back to the Kuti, it's only referring to the Cheresh Shoto V'Chodin. You're saying that should have said Im Shoftu. Okay, but if it said Im Shoftu, you might not have realized that it refers to all three of them. So therefore, it says Cholon in order to fire. Right. Okay, so that was the fourth explanation.
Who says that?
The person says it's on the Gemara. The Risco says it. Okay. Ravina Omar, yes. Ravina says, okay, here's a fifth way of explaining the mission. Hachi Kafani. What it means is like this. Hakol Shertin, when we say that anybody can shech, and we mean the Lachchila, that means Hakol Mumchin Shertin. That means anybody who is an expert, meaning, now by the way, usually in the Gemara, in many other places in the Gemara, Mumcha means a person who has smicha. In Sanhedrin, for example, mum kol rabim means somebody who has smicha, somebody who got reshus from the Nazi. Here it doesn't necessarily mean that. Here it actually just says mumchin means yodin hilchus shchita. They know the halacha. So any mumchin can shech, meaning mumchin va'af pisha in muchzakim. Interesting point, by the way, about the previous case involving the mummer. So we're saying over here, again, that if the knife is not available, then if the knife is not available, then you have a problem. So the implication is that as long as you had a cherem roi noise, it's kosher. Later on in the perek, actually, it says that you have to see him mitchil of ad soit. So then it's mutter. This process refers to the next part. Let's continue with the mutter. Okay. A kol mumchin shech. Then anybody who's mumcha, anybody who knows the halachas, can shech. But after pisha in mukzakin, even if we don't yet have a chazaka that they've shechted at least three times in front of us. Now, why would you need if they know the halachas? What's the problem? The problem is that the sight of the blood or whatever might cause them to faint, or if not completely faint, dead away, at least like to feel like the lightheaded or confused or queasy or whatever, and then they might do shahia. They might stop too long during the shkita enough that it would make it possible. But even if the rabbinah is saying, the mishnah is saying, as long as he's a munchah, we can check, even if he's not munchah. Bamed vorem amurim. Now, when would that apply that you can do the chasila? Shiyodin vore shiyadeh lo mehilchas shkita. Only if we know about it. Only if we know that he's able to say the halachas of shkita. Abel ein yodin vore shiyadeh lo mehilchas shkita. But if we don't know that he's able to say hilchas shkita, which by the way doesn't mean that's not the same thing as saying that we know he doesn't know how to say that. It means we don't know one way or the other. We don't know one way or the other. We don't know whether he knows them or not. Then lo yishchit. Then the Mishnah is saying he should not check the hachila because he might easily tassel the shchita without realizing it. He doesn't know the dinim after all. Even shochat, however, if he did check, how can we fix up the situation? Then we ask him. We interrogate him. We cross examine. If we find after all that he does know the halacha of the shkita, good. Then you're allowed to eat from the shkita. If not, then not, because then he might easily have done shahiya or whatever without realizing, without anybody noticing. Then continues the Mishnah. Now, with the exception of a cheder shorch of a cotton, even if they know they are not allowed to shech even and it's possible even to be evid, even if they know the halachas, because they're not bnei das, so they might do one of these things without realizing. And then so far then the hachila is the mumcha, the b'di'evid is the not mumcha, and then you have the cheder shorch of a cotton. Okay, so now the cholon sheshachtu aheya. So now, which part does the cholon sheshachtu refer to? Ilema again. Ilema cheder shorch v'katan. On the face of it, if it's referring to the cheder shorch v'katan, alakoi. We just finished mentioning them. Therefore, v'im shachtu b'bayelay. So instead of kolon, which implies that there are others that we have to include, so just say v'im shachtu. If they, the ones that we just mentioned, shechted, ela she'ein mumchin. Is it referring to the second case of the non-mumcha, where we're saying that? We're saying that Hachila, you shouldn't check, but the evidence if you check it, we should ask him. Well, then why do we need somebody watching? But both of those, they say, it's enough to ask him afterwards and make sure he knows how long.
The previous case, we...
In Rabbah Ulo's case, because the guy is a Ben Das and he has Nemonos, we can ask him, you checked these Kodshim being Tommy from outside the Azor. Did you make sure not to touch the meat? Or maybe he was inside the Azor or whatever. Did you make sure not to touch the meat? And if he says no, that I didn't touch it, and then we know that he didn't use a Kedi, that he didn't retame it or whatever, then we can believe him. If he's not available, then we need Acherim Oimim Agabim to make sure that he didn't touch. In Ravina's things, in Abaya's and Rava's and Ravashi's explanations, we had a problem because we're talking about somebody who doesn't have any Nemonis. The Kursi or the Mumar, as the case may be. So therefore, there's no possibility of asking. Here in Ravina, where we're back to, we're talking about a person who's a Ben Das, he just doesn't know the halacha. So we didn't know to begin with that he knows our office. So we're saying that we should cross-examine him, but we're saying that the both can know society. It should be enough to check him. The answer is he's not here. He's shechted and then he left. So we have no way of knowing what his level of knowledge is. Then, as long as somebody was watching him to make sure there was no shihia, no zirata, etc., then we're good. So in other words, according to this, and this is only the first explanation of Ravina, we're going to have another one in a second, but, hold on. Let's get to the end, and then we'll start talking what the halacha is. So that's all one version of what Ravina is saying. So it comes out, in other words, the chila is a mumcha. We don't have to have him have a chazaka to make sure he doesn't faint, because fainting is a very uncommon thing. As long as he's a mumcha, then we're good even l'chila. If he's not a mumcha, then we need to either ask him, l'chila he shouldn't check. If he shechted, then afterwards we either ask him, see if he knows the halachas, and if yes, then yes, and if not, then not. Or if he's not available to ask, then somebody has to have been watching him. And only then is it mutar. And then the cheder shorch v'katan is possible even b'di'evet, unless somebody was watching. Then we have was all version one of how Ravina explains our mission. Okay, so here's the point actually where Tosfos says that, and if he is in front of us and we actually find out he doesn't know the halachas at all, it sounds like it wouldn't even help if somebody is watching him. But later on in the parak we say that if somebody is watching him, it's good even if he doesn't know the halachas. So what is it? The process leaves it as a question. There's a few different answers that are given, one of them being that there's a difference between having to watch him, as the Gemara says later, if you're watching from the beginning to the end of the Shita, to make sure there was no Shehiyah or Drasa or what have you during the entire thing, versus Acherim Oyim Magabov over here, means that somebody was watching during part of the Shita. So again, the idea would be, if we don't know whether he knows the halachos or not, then it would come according to that explanation, it would come out. As long as somebody was watching him for part of the shchita, then that's good enough. It's less likely that punk during the part where nobody was there, he did one of the things that happened there. But if we afterwards ask him, and it turns out he doesn't know any of the halachos, then the only way to make it kosher would be if somebody was watching him from the beginning to end of the shchita. That's one answer. There's other answers, including that maybe the subjects disagree with each other. There's other answers as well. Okay. Fine.
It's not a full
question. Right. Okay. The Ikadam, then we have another version, Ravinama, another version of how Ravina explains our Mishnah. Hachikama, what the Mishnah means is, Hachikatami, this is what the Mishnah means. Hakol Shurkin means Hakol Muchzokin. It means that anybody who already has a chazaka, that he's able to shech, and we see that he shechted several times already and didn't mess it up, then they're able to shech the hachila, meaning muchzokin afal pishein mumkin. He would say exactly the opposite of the previous one. Before we said, if they're mumcha, we don't care whether they have a chazaka. Here we're saying the other way around. If they have a chazaka, we know that already they've shechted a number of times, even if they're not mumcha, even if we don't know for a fact that they know the halachas, then we can still eat from their shchita, even the chazaka. There's two different possibilities. Either the Mishnah is telling us one, or it's telling us the other. So it's either they have to be mumcha, or according to the second version, the important thing is that they're mumcha. Okay. Then the Mishnah would be.
Can a mumcha not be mosak?
Sure, we said before. Mumcha could be. He learned the entire Hilchos Shchita and all the notes that came. I mean, everybody has practical experience shechting, and therefore he hasn't shechted that many times yet, and therefore we have to be concerned maybe that he would faint in the middle. Okay, obviously that's the ideal. Hold on. We'll talk later on about getting Kabbalah. We'll get to that. Obviously, yeah. The obvious thing is you want your shirt to be both mumcha and mumcha. But if he's mumcha and mumcha, there's no chiddush that he can shech. So obviously if our Mishnah is telling us some kind of chiddush, you should know that somebody you thought might not be able to shech the chila, but he can shech even the chila, who would that be? According to Ravina's first version, that's the mumcha who's not mumcha, and according to the second version, it's the mumcha who's not mumcha. Okay. Then the Mishnah continued. Now, when does that apply? When he's mukhtar. If he shechted in front of us at least two or three times, and he didn't. Beis Begimel means two or three. So before I shouldn't talk about that. First of all, you have a machlokas in a number of places in chat between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, whether two times is enough to make a chazaka or three times is enough. But yes, they have that. But the truth is, I mean, different. There's different other. The Rambam, I think, uses the expression hybrid palm or kama palm or whatever, something like that. So it's not necessarily two or three. It's however many times we feel is necessary to show that he's not going to get queasy or faint or whatever. Okay. So if he did that, and he didn't faint, then fine, we can then he's allowed to shech the chila. But if he didn't shech in front of us at least two or three times, lo yishchet, then the chila is not shech. Shema yis'alef, because he might faint, and then he'll make the shchit apostle by doing shavia. The im shochat, so in the first version of Ravina, we weren't concerned about fainting at all. Here, in the second one, we do have to be concerned about it. The im shachat for Omar, but if he shechts and he's able to say afterwards, body the shalom salati, it's clear to me, I am 100% sure that I was not faint. Then b'di'evet is shchita is kosher. So that's the b'di'evet. You shouldn't have allowed him to shecht in the first place, but because after the fact he's able to say loni salati, then therefore we're able to eat from the shchita b'di'evet. No. Before the two or three times you're talking about. After the two or three times you're saying l'chila. So the first or second time...
That's
what we're saying. Okay. If he already shechted a number of times and didn't faint, then Ravina is saying you can eat from his shchita l'chila even if he's not a mumcha, even if we don't know whether he knows the halach. If he hasn't shechted that many times yet, l'chila you should not allow him to shech because he might faint. If he chefed it, even let's say the first time, and afterwards we ask him, "Nu, is there any possibility that you fainted in the middle and maybe there was shidiyah?" And he says, "I'm 100% sure that I was conscious the whole time." He has nemanus, then fine. Then we're allowed to eat from his chita. Because he states, yes. Because a yid has nemanus. It's a question of nemanus. Not predict what, did he faint in the shita that he just finished? He just finished the shita. He shefted an animal or a bird. Now we want to eat from it. We ask him, not will you faint? Did you faint at any time during
so
if he says body,
faint, doesn't mean you will not faint.
That's fine. That doesn't mean that next time he should shef the chasila. It means that b'di'evet, now we can eat from this one animal that he shefted now. That's what we mean by b'di'evet. Okay. Yeah. So he has an amonus in general. A-def of mem and b-thirty. Yeah. Okay. Chos mecheres shoyt v'katan, and again, then comes the cheres shoyt v'katan. They're the exception. That's the b'di'evet nami loy. Then, even b'di'evet, if you ask them, or then if you ask them, you can't because they don't have das. Shami yid shish, shami yishu, shami yidrusu, shami yachledu, because they may pass the shkita without realizing it. Whereas a regular yid has an amonus. We can trust him if he says that he didn't do a look at the English one. A regular yid has an amonus. If he says, "I didn't faint," and then therefore the shchita is kosher, then we can take him at his word. Okay. And then, b'cholon sheshachtu aheya. Okay, so what is the b'cholon referring to? Again, ilei ma'aseh d'shoyt v'katan alakoi. We're just referring to them. Therefore, v'shachtu mibayilei. So we should just say v'shachtu if they, the last mentioned one, shechted. Ela asha'in mochzakin. Is it referring to the case where the person doesn't have chazakah? Where we said because we're afraid that he might faint. What do you mean? Why do we need people watching? We said all you need is for people to ask him, and he'll say, "I'm certain that I didn't faint." And again, the answer is the less they come under the shaila. Again, like in the previous answer, in the previous version, the answer would be that he's not available. He left after he shefted. So we have to make assumptions of our own. So then the only way to know that it was kosher is if somebody was watching. So similar to the first one, the difference is again in the first version we were talking about the non-mumcha, where we don't know whether he knows Hilchos Shchita or not. So one of two things: either we have to be able to ask him afterwards, or we have to have been watching him during the Shchita. In the second version, we're talking about somebody who's not mumcha. Whether he's a mumcha or not is not really relevant. And the second one, the question is whether he's mukhzik, because the bigger concern that we have is about him fainting, and therefore the two possibilities to make it kosher b'di'evet are either you ask him and he says, "I didn't faint," and therefore the shit is kosher and you trust him, or if he's not available, then we have to have somebody have been watching. Okay. So those are the six ways of explaining our Mishnah. So again, to recap, we have Rabba Ba'ula's way that the two first cases of Mishnah are Tomei. Abaya is that the first two are a kusi. Rava is also that it's a kusi, but with the variation of whether the Yisrael is there the whole time or Yosef and Nishna, so it only comes in afterwards. Rav Ashi is that it's about a Yisrael mumma, and Ravina's first version that it's about a mumcha who's not, that it's a mumcha who's not mukhta. A mumcha versus a non-mumcha. And the last one was a mukhtik versus a non-mukhtik. So now we have to figure out.
Two versions, is the point is that we don't know what he said?
No, again, in both of those, if he's not available, no, well, do we not know what Ravina said in the yeshiva? Yeah, it could be that the yeshiva lies heard him in the yeshiva, and they had two different, they understood him in two different ways.
It's interesting, Ravina is on the same time as Ravashi, when the,
true.
So that goes for the people who say that the law was written by the Sabaraians.
I don't know who says that or what they mean.
You know, because they would have taken whatever. Years after, because Ravina and Rashi really wrote Gemara, why would he not know?
Because you could have, first of all, Ravina himself may have changed his mind, and it may be that there's also, keep in mind, there are two Ravinas. There's the first Ravina, who was the chaver of Rashi, and there's the second Ravina, who's his nephew, maybe it could be, maybe one of them is one and one of them is the other, I don't know. But it could also be that Ravina changed his mind.
Okay, so Ravina and Rashi really said he needs a chaver.
Yeah. Generally. Okay. Onward. Okay, so we have six explanations. Why does each one need to come up with their own explanation? Ravina v'Rabba Ba'ula, Ka'abaya v'Rabba v'Rabba Ashi Layamri. Now, Ravina and Rabba Ba'ula, who Ravino, who explains that it's about the mumcha and non-mumcha, or muhsik and non-muhsik, and Rabbi Ba'ula, who explains that it's about the Tomei, they don't want to accept any of Abaya's or Rava's or Rav Ashi's explanations, Mishim B'Kasha, because they all have B'Kasha. Why does it say B'Kulam if it's only referring back to the Cheder Shoy to the Kulam? So fine, Abaya and Rava and Rav Ashi themselves can feel that B'Kulam is okay to say just on the Cheder Shoy to the Kulam, but Rabbi Ba'ula and Ravino don't like that. So therefore, they have to stick with their explanation. Next, chulon b'shem d'kashlo v'chulon, because they have a problem with the word b'chulon. Kulu k'rabu ba'ula v'yam. None of the other amiroyim want to agree with Rabba Ba'ula's explanation of that we're talking about a tomei shechting, that we're talking about a tomei shechting chulon shenaflo paras hakodesh versus shechting kodshim. We said l'hatchila he shouldn't be shechting kodshim, but b'dievet if he did it's okay. They don't agree. Why not? It's not that they don't agree with the premise, maybe, but it's like this. Mm-hmm. Okay, part of it is they don't agree with the premise, and part of it is that they don't agree that the Mishnah should be saying over here. When we discussed Rabba Ba'ula, when we were learning it the other day, we said like this. First of all, when Rabba Ba'ula is saying that if the Mishnah means a kol shirtin, means a tomei shechting chol and shenasu al paras hakodesh, the point of that must be, even though chol and shenasu al paras hakodesh have the din of kodesh, midirabanan, nevertheless we're allowing him to shech them machila, as long as he uses the long name. That was one point. The other point we said in connection with Rabba Ba'ula is that we have a Mishnah in Zvachim that mentions that if a tomei shechted korbanos, then b'dievet is kosher, as long as they don't touch the meat. But we were asking why didn't two Mishnayot teaching us the same thing. And we had two different explanations. One was that the Mishnah mainly needs to say it over here, because we're dealing with the din of Shita over here. In Zvachim, it's just mentioned incidentally among the other Tzvachim. Right. Yes. Or the other explanation is the other way around, that the main place to talk about it is in Zvachim, where we're dealing with the din of Shechting Kodshim. Here, because it has to mention Tomei by Chulin, so that which we wouldn't know from Zvachim, therefore it also mentions the Tomei by Kodshim. Now let's work out then why the other Amiroyim can't accept that explanation of Rabba Ba'ula. So they say like, Kulu k'Rabba Ba'ula Leha. I mean, none of them say like Rabba Ba'ula, because the first explanation, why is it repeating it here in Cholin if we already have this din in Zvachim, and you're saying the reason is because, look, we're in the Sefer Cholin. It's mainly talking about the din of Shchita, so we have to talk about it here. They would argue, the other Amidoyim would argue, Adonab HaHosan Iker. Just the opposite. Zvachim would be the main place to talk about it. The Bekotchim Kodim, because you're talking about a Tomei Shechting or not Shechting Kodim, the main place for that is in Zvachim. It makes more sense that the Mishnah should be telling us there in Zvachim and not have to repeat it again here in Cholin. They were arguing on Rabba Ba'ula, right? Lahach Mishnah de Amr Tosem Iker. Now, according to the other version that we said, Rabba Ba'ula could say, fine, the main place to talk about it is in Cholin, but Vahacha, the only reason we're mentioning it here is in Cholin, and the main place to talk about it was there in Zvachim. Vahacha, and over here in Cholin, the only reason we're saying it, I did the Tana Tomei before, and once it had to mention the Tomei is allowed to shech Kulin Shanafu Aparat HaKadosh, L'Hachila, Tana Nami Tomei Mokashin, and it mentions also, incidentally, the Tomei B'dievet Shechting Kodshin, they would answer, we don't accept that premise, because they would say, Tomei B'Kulin Gufei Lo'yitzrichalei. They would say, I don't need to be told that the Tomei is allowed to shech Kulin Shanafu Aparat HaKadosh, because they would hold Kulin Shanafu Aparat HaKadosh Lav HaKadosh Tomei. They would hold that such Kulin, B'Klal have no Jinim of Kodesh, so of course, they're like any other Kulin, there's no problem with the Tomei touching them. So therefore, by Kulin Shanafu Aparat HaKadosh, there's no problem either. There's no reason for the Mishnah to tell us that clearly he's able to shech. Because he wouldn't have a Hadam otherwise. So Rabba Ba'ula holds that it's to Kodesh, and therefore he needs the Mishnah to tell us that. They would hold it's not to Kodesh, therefore they would say the Mishnah has no reason to tell us that. Once it has no reason to tell us that the Tomei B'dievet, about the Tomei Shech and Kodesh and B'dievet, because that's only there incidentally because of that, and therefore they would say the whole thing doesn't begin, and therefore we need other explanations. Okay. Next. Kulu k'Ravino Lo'yamri. The other Amiroyim don't want to agree with Ravina's explanation, either of his explanations. Four. There's Rabba Ba'ula, Abaya, Rava, and Ravashi, right? We have six explanations. The two of them are from Ravina, right? So none of them want to agree with Ravina's, with either of Ravina's explanations, because, Kula Kravina Loyami, because, Lahach Lishna de Amam Mumkin Ain Shein Mumkin Loy, according to the first version, that Ravina says the Mishnah is distinguishing between mumchin and she'enin mumchin and saying only the mumcha can shef lahatchila and the she'enin mumcha not, they don't agree because they would say, roiv mitsuyin, eto shchita mumchin hein. Most people who are involved with shchita are mumchin. So therefore, say, you shouldn't need to ask him afterwards, does he know the halacha or not? Okay, so actually that is for that. So Ravina would answer that. Ravina would answer there is a minority that don't, and we have to be choishes for that minority. Okay, so they would argue that anybody can shech even a chila, because most people involved with shechita are mumchin, which by the way that is accepted. Hold on. That concept roiv mumchin etos shechita roiv mitsuyin etos shechita mumchin hein is accepted la halacha, although with some caveats that we'll talk about soon. But the basic concept that generally when people shech, usually they're mumchin. So therefore, we shouldn't have to. What was Ravina saying earlier in the mumchin, in Ravina's first version? He was saying, if we know he's a mumcha, then he can shech l'chila. If we don't know whether he's a mumcha or not, we either have to ask him or we have to have been watching him. The other Amirayim would say, why? Most people who shech are automatically assumed to be mumchin, and therefore there's no reason to ask him afterwards, unless you have reason to think that he didn't know the halachas. Then we ought to accept this shita.
Well, we're still not sure that he's a mumcha at the end of the day.
Roiv mitsuyin eto shita mumcha hein. So they would say that roiv is enough for us. The miut that doesn't is not enough of a miut, they would say, to have to worry about. Sure, of course it would be better to ask him, and if you find out that the Mishnah shouldn't be implying that you have to ask him, and if not, then be the evidence, and if not, then it's possible. So they don't accept Ravina's first version. And and they would say we also disagree with Ravina's second explanation. We also disagree with Rava's second explanation that the key thing is not whether he's mumcha but whether he's a muchzik, because we have to be concerned that he might faint during the shita. They would say we're not concerned about fainting. It's also an uncommon enough thing for the same reason. It's an uncommon enough thing. Most people, yeah. So therefore, they don't accept Ravina's answers, and therefore they have to find other answers. The fact of the matter is these concepts that we just said, roiv mitsuyin eto shechita mumchin hein, and la'aluf yiloy chashinan, are brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in principle, as long as a Yisrael, Gadol, Ben Da'as, shechs, you should be able to eat from his shechita. However, the fact of the matter is, we're saying that it's only because roiv mitsuyin eto shechita mumchin hein, only because the roiv do know the halachas. If there's reason to suspect that he doesn't, then
we find out.
Well, so that's one. And the fact of the matter is, the halachas are fairly complicated. You have the five basic things that pasul shechita, but you have all kinds of things in there as well. So therefore, the halacha ends up being like this. If the guy is able to, if he's able, as says in Shulchan Aruch, loymar hilchos shchita, he's able to say the halachas of shchita, that's what we said before, and then you want loymar hilchos shchita, and it means, by the way, it doesn't mean that he knows every single little detail of there, it means that the shach says of there, it means he knows the basic concepts, and he knows what he would have to ask the rabbi about. But then we'd be allowed to eat from the shchita, and again, we're not so concerned about the fainting possibility, because that usually doesn't happen. With all that said, because not everybody who's involved are mumcha and halachas, and you don't always know, the minhag eventually develops that you have to have kabbalah. You have to have actually gotten kabbalah, which is the shchita equivalent of smicha, from a rav that he's certified that you actually know the halachas, and that you've actually shechted several times in front of him, so that he sees that you have the technique down, and you're not doing shahiyah, etc. Especially because, for example, later on, when we talk about the dinim of shahiyah, we're going to talk about there's a certain minimum amount of time that it needs to be in order to be considered shahiyah. It's not just if he pauses for a second, then the shahiyah is automatically possible. In principle, there's a certain amount of time it takes. However, we're much there.
If he shift, let's say, X times plus one.
No, hold on. Shahiyah doesn't mean that he cut the knife back and forth. You can be cutting back the knife as many times as you want. Shahiyah would mean you start cutting, then he stops, and then he starts again.
Okay.
So in principle, there's a certain minimum amount of time that shahiyah has to be in order to pass it, or it adds up to that amount, whatever. We're machmir, the poskim are machmir, because we can't be sure of these shiurim, on even smaller amounts. So once you have that, there's a much greater chance that there was shahiyah. So therefore, you have to have that he actually shechted in front of the rav sit in front of the mats or shows or whatever several times, so you see he has the technique down and is not doing any kind of shahia. And then you give him Kabbalah, and then fine. Once he has Kabbalah, then already you can be somach on him in the future. Not so much. The Alter Rebbe says not so much because in the future he might conceivably forget the halacha. Sure, but you don't have to keep on retesting him because if he's stressing all the time, he's always doing the same thing over and over. It's gonna stay question. Yeah. So therefore, in other words, his chazaka still remains from before. It is true, depending on the circumstances, you should try, when you're able to find out, did he know, make sure that he still knows his stuff, because when you're able to find out, you can't rely on chazakas. But for example, again, if he's not available, or the knife is not available, or whatever, then we can be saymachan chazakas, as in fact, we'll learn in a few dafim, the power of a chazaka. Or we'll have a whole sugya about how strong a chazaka is in halacha. Okay. Anyway, let's go on with the Gemara. Rava lo omakabaya. Now we had a lung. Well, the lung is a whole different now. That's a whole different subject. That's true. No. We're going to talk about shem of the penetiv, shem of penetiv yishefted, whatever. We're going to get into a whole sugya about it. I won't be here, but you'll be in good hands as the Shannon
alone.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Who's doing it?
The name is Avraham Katz.
Is he gonna bring a stocking
shkita? I have no idea. Okay.
Great to try on you.
Okay. Okay. Then we had another among the other explanations we had on Amud Aleph, we had Abaya's explanation that the Chila and B'dievet or our Mishnah are talking about a kursi, one where the Yisroel was watching him the whole time, and one where the Yotzei. And Rava disagreed and said, no, it's Yotz of the Nishnas versus not there at all and came in only after the fact. But Rava lo yomak Abaya, Rava doesn't say like Abaya, it's Kushi, because he had his Kasha and Abaya from the Mishnayos over there in Avodah Zarah involving Yain. On the other hand, the Kasha was that over there it seems that when it comes to Yain Nesach, Yotz of the Nishnas is enough. So why over here would Abaya say, Chila, you need that, and that's allowed even Chila. So why would Abaya say over here that you need the Yid to be there the whole time? On the other hand, Abaya like Omaka Rava. On the other hand, why doesn't Abaya agree with Rava's explanation? The answer is he would say there's a difference. Hasam loy naga. The difference is because over there, it's much less. The goy didn't actually touch the wine. What was the case over there? You had a wine store. You leave the goy in the store and you go out. So fine. In order for him to have touched the wine, he would have had to open up one of the barrels and touch it. You have no, and everything, and you have the whole mirror thing over there that he might be afraid that you might come in any second. So there's not necessarily was he even touching anything. So you don't have to worry. So therefore, it's allowed even a pillow because you're going to the next.
So you have the big barrels, and you have a smaller one, and you just pour.
Fine, if you have anything over there that there's a possibility that he may have touched, okay, then you have more problems. But over here, in your house, that's true. If you have him as a guest, for example, where you're allowing him to pour for himself, then you have problems. But here in the store, he doesn't have a right to touch the merchandise without permission.
But he's serving customers to come in.
No. We're not talking about you having him, you're hiring him to work in the store. We're talking about you have a guy over there who came as a customer to the store, and you're going out for him. Okay. So why doesn't Abaya agree with Rava? So you say Hasam lo Noga, because over there, not necessarily did the goy b'chalal touch the wine. Hasam Noga, here, the fact of the matter is, of course, he is touching the meat, because he is shechting the animal. You gave him, he actually did touch it. So therefore, it could be terrifying within a blink of an eye, you could be drossed or shahir or what have you, and you wouldn't know. So therefore, you need to be watching him carefully the whole time. And therefore, Abaya would say that's the difference. That's why by shchita of a kursi, you need to be watching him the whole time. Whereas with yain netzach, you only need yotzer. So that's the point. If you gave him a piece of meat afterwards and he eats it, then you know it's okay because he would. What does who say to that? Rava would say, I don't hold that distinction. Rava would say the fact is we see by yain netzach it's allowed, so therefore by here it should also be allowed. That's what we said before, that the Dievid case involving the Kursi is you give him a piece of meat that he just shechted and tell him to eat it. If he eats it, then good. It means that the shechita was kosher because he himself is not going to eat the base. But if he refuses to eat it, then you have to worry because he might be telling you that it was kosher shechita. He doesn't care about lifnei yivel. That's going to be the next story. Hold on. Okay. Fine. Rav Ashi lo omak kitavai. Rav Ashi doesn't want to agree with either Abaya or Rava's explanation because the Tzav of Kusim Geira Arayis saying he holds as a famous machloekas throughout Shas that the Kusim anyway are only Geira Arayis. They only became Geirim because they were being attacked by lions after some chayra brought them here to Israel. So therefore, their shchita is possible anyway, just like a goy shchita would be possible. There's no lachatchila and b'diavad. There's no lachatchila and b'diavad. Tosus mentions, by the way, according to the opinion, Gere MS Tosus learns that what it means is that it means that originally it's true, of course, they converted only because of the lions, the Pasuk said so, but afterwards, eventually, they improved and became Gere MS, according to the opinion that they were Gere MS, which we're going to deal with later on.
By the way,
that was with Kutim? That was with Kutim, yeah. Then.
They knew they were
Gerei Arayis. No, so according to one possibility is we knew to begin with that they were Gerei Arayis, but they always remained that way. The other possibility, the other mandama, is that originally they were Gerei Arayis, but eventually they improved and became Gerei Emes. That's our choice for them. You have other Rishonim, by the way, who learn the other way around. Maybe what, according to that mandama, what it is first they were Gerei Emes, and later on they started going downhill, but nevertheless, okay, they have a dinim of Yisrael Mumar. That doesn't make them good necessarily. Okay. So that's why Rav Ashi doesn't want to accept Abaya and Rava's explanations that involve Kutim, because he says Kutim are anyway not Jews, they're not even quasi-Jews, and therefore not. There may have been. Yeah, you have.
They're really interested in what the Mishnah said, which was not the
time. Well, yeah.
This is what they're
right.
debating.
Right.
So wouldn't really have a reflection on...
Yeah.
On
I guess not.
The
day-to-day,
yeah. It would just be saying, oh, that's what the Mishnah meant. Okay.
So Abaya like Omer Rav Ashi. Now, why doesn't Abaya want to accept Rav Ashi's explanation, which involved that you said that you give us a knife to Yisroel Mumar, and if she chef, then it's okay. Because, like, literally, how did Rav? He doesn't hold the Rav's concept that you can trust the Yisroel Mumar with the knife. Okay, you gave him a knife that was pre-checked. Still doesn't mean that he might not, that he might not go and pass all the shita somehow, with or without realizing. Okay. So the question is, Elod Rava, my time, Elod Amos Hishmaita. Rava himself is the one who said that if you give a knife to Yisroel Mumar, then he can share. So why doesn't Rava himself use that as the explanation of our Mishnah? Why does he take the explanation of Abaya involving the Kusi and modify it? The answer is, Hitaka doesn't agree with Abaya. Lidvorav the Abaya comment, he was saying, within Abaya's explanation, he was saying, Abaya, I don't understand how you can be saying that Yosef and Nishmas is only b'diavad when you have Mishnayos that imply that it's allowed b'chatchila. So if you're going to explain that it's involving the Kusi, then I'd prefer to explain that, and then you should better explain that it means Yosef and Nishmas versus coming in afterwards. The lay, like Spirley, but Rava himself doesn't have to hold up the explanation of Mishnah. Rava himself would hold the explanation as like Rav Ashi said that it's talking about Yisroel Mumar that you gave him.
He's coming to
clarify what Abaya is saying. So according to Rava, yeah, he's still a mummer, as long as you gave him the knife, would be allowed. But for Philip. And the other would...
The same boy doesn't agree with him, so
really. Well, that's the thing. He had a cash on Abaya, so he's saying, if you're going to explain involving Kursim, then you should explain that it means Yosef and Nichnes versus coming in afterwards. But I say, Rava is saying, I myself would say, I don't even need that, I don't even bring in Kursim at all. I hold that if you give a knife to him, he's still a mummer, then it's okay. So therefore, I hold that the Mishnah is talking about that. We said, Tosfos said at the top of the Yom, the Yisroel Mumar, even though he himself, the Mumar Ichim Avelik Lutayav, and he's not going to do Lifnei Yisroel.
A Mumar is
totally
different.
Only
a Yisroel Mumar Lutayav. Only, right, obviously, because a half is a whole different ballgame. Okay. Fine. So now we talked about the Kusi Shechting, so now let's get into that and get into more generally the topic of Kusin and the mitzvahs they do and don't keep. Turn it up on. Shchitas Kusi Muteres. A shchita done by a kusi is mutter, obviously only according to the opinions of the Gereans. When would that apply? Only if Yisrael was standing there and watching him. But if you came and found after the fact that he shechted an animal, then the only way to make it kosher is you cut off a piece, at least the kazayis, and give it to him to eat. Also, if you eat it, mutter left on the shchitase, then you're allowed to eat from it because he himself is not going to eat the velus. Look, beam lav, and if not, also because he doesn't care about listening. Okay.
What would not eating imply that he doesn't care?
Because if he doesn't eat from it, it might be he doesn't want to eat from it because he knows that in fact it's nevela, that he did actually.
Therefore, he does care.
He doesn't care about listening to it either. If he refuses to eat it, but he says, go ahead, eat from it. What's the problem? Why should I have to eat from it? Then we say, no. You're trying to do listening to it over here. If you think that it's so kosher for Yashu, you eat it first.
Right, but I understand the logic of someone who doesn't want to eat to be qualified as he doesn't care. He does care if he doesn't want to eat.
He cares about himself. He doesn't care about being mashal you. That's the
Iver.
Listen to Iver. He doesn't care about being mashal you eating the vape. He himself won't eat from it.
Okay, so yeah. He won't eat first,
right.
But he won't mind if
you eat from it. Right.
It's not kosher
right.
for you.
Right. Hayosa, though, similarly, continues the Braitha, Masav Yaga Dekuria Shel Sukkotim. If you find in a Kosi's hand a Dekuria of birds, Rashi says a Dekuria means that they have them strung, they have a bunch of shepherd birds strung on a string. Tosfos says that means a basket. Either way, the point is you have a bunch of birds there. Same thing. Ketea Rosha Shel Echamehed. You chop off the head of one of the birds, and it's at least a Kazayas in size. The notion was, and you give it to him, see if he'll eat it. If he eats it, then you know that you can eat from any of the birds that were shafted over there. Then love also lechem b'shvitasa, and if not, then you're not allowed to. Now the same reasoning, except the Gemara is going to ask soon. Now on the face of it, the chiddush is, it's a big chiddush because you have a whole bunch of birds over there. If you cut off the head of one of them, let's say, for example, some of them could have been kosher shita, some of them could have been nevela. It so happens the one that you picked up happens to be one of the kosher ones. Good, he'll eat it. Aye, there are other ones in the string or in the basket that are nevela. He won't care that you eat them. So how does that work? That's the Gemara is going to deal with that. Fine. Hold on. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss soon. So first of all, so the reason why we're mentioning this braita is because, again, we mentioned before that Rava and Abaya disagreed about when is it l'chatchila you can eat from a kosi's shchita only if you're washing him the whole time, and when is it only b'dieved Abaya says if you're yoseh v'nichnas, and Rava said no, l'chatchila is if you're yoseh v'nichnas, b'dieved is if you weren't there at all and you only came after the fact. But now we had a braita that mentions the two extreme cases. It didn't mention the case in the middle. It mentioned Oymed or Gavo. And it mentioned that Moshe Shoshokha, that you came afterwards and found them check. So, Abaya Dayak Mereisha, Rava Dayak Mereisha. So Abaya says, let's look at the wording of the Reisha, and that, we'll say, teaches us that we can learn from the wording that it uses what the din would be in that intermediate case. And Rava does the same thing from the Seifa. In other words, obviously there's something missing in the Braitha, but we have to figure out which one is it more similar to. Abaya Dayak Mereisha. Abaya would say, let's be Mereisha on the basis of the Reisha.
Why is it missing something?
Because we have three possible cases in the Braitha. Only mentioned two of them. We have Oymed or Gavav, Yosef and Nichnas, and came after the fact. The Braitha only mentioned Oymed or Gavav versus and came after the fact. He didn't mention the middle one. So what would be the din on that? The Braitha didn't say. So Abaya says, based on the ratio, we can deduce what the halacha would be in that case.
Oh, wait a minute. What's that?
The same word. That's
okay. Yeah, okay, fine. All right. Okay. Okay. So Abaya Dayak Mereisha. He says like this. Taima di Yisrael Emin Agabal. You know why? It's Musar, Lachatchila, because Yisrael was watching. Abu Yotze B'Nichnas, like, implying that if it was any less than that, even if it was Yotze B'Nichnas, then that wouldn't be good, and therefore you'd have to give him a piece and see if he eats it. Rather Dayak Mereisha, whereas Rather is Medayak the other way around from the Sefer. No, China the Bo Mosse Shachel. The only reason why you have a problem is because he came and found he already shechted, and therefore you don't know whether the shechita was kosher or not, and the only way to know is to give him a piece. Aval, Yosef and Nichnas, Shachel Dami. But if you were Yosef and Nichnas, it sounds like it would be Mosse even the Hachila. Okay, so the question is, Ola Abaya Kasha Sefer. Okay, what is Abaya doing with the Sefer of the Braitha? Okay. Okay. We have enough with our Gemara over here. It's not there yet. Okay. Fine. Okay. So the Abaya Kasha Sefer. Okay. What is Abaya doing with the Sefer? The mission again. Braitha had mentioned Oymed or Gavav, and then it mentioned Bo Moshe Shoshokat. So it sounds like so what is Abaya going to do? Point to Abaya. Why is the second case Bo Moshe Shoshokat? The second case should be Yosef and Nichol.
The Sefer.
Why is it safer? Only the right. It was in other words, why that according to Abaya, the Braitha should have said Oymed or Gavav versus Yosef and Nichnas. That in Yosef and Nichnas you have to give him a piece. So why does it only go to Moshe Shoshokha? That's the question. Where are we? Abaya Kasha Sefer. Amalach, Abaya would answer you. Yosef Nichnas Nami Bo Moshe Karila. You know what? I would say the Braitha is using the word Ba'umasai to mean two possible cases. One where you came only after the Shchita, and the other one where you're Yosef and Nichnas, where you're there for part of it and not there for part of it. The Braitha will call them both by the same name that it's both called Masai Shoshokha, that you came in faith. No, but because the fact is, there is a certain similarity over there. You have part or all of the Shchita was done, and you don't know whether it was done B'Kashis or not. So therefore, that can work.
So you said Yosef and Nichnas
is included in the category. It's included in the category of Bo Masai. Okay. Ulav Kasha Resha, then what is Rava going to do with the Resha? Where again, according to Rava, the expression in the Braisa should have been, when is it Mutter, you know, Hasila, when you're Yosef and Nichnas? But if Bo Mutter is a Shachat, then it's the other case. According to Rava, the Hasila case is even if Yosef and Nichnas. So the answer is, Amalach, Rava will answer, Yosef and Nichnas, Nami, Ka'omid Agab of Dami, because Yosef and Nichnas is similar to standing and watching him. As long as you're Yosef and Nichnas, and therefore you have this concept of Mirtas, that he's afraid to do any funny stuff, then that's good enough, that's the equivalent of Omid Agab of actually being there the whole time. According to Rava, it is. Because you have Mirtas. Rava holds that way.
He's absent for 25
minutes. No. Yosef and Nichnas means that he could come back in any second. Any second, you can come back in, so therefore the guy's afraid to try anything funny. Okay. By the way, I mean, the Mephoshim point out that there's a bit of a nuance over here. In Abayas, we say Korimu, that he called that. In Rava's explanation, we're saying Korimu Agaba Dom. You can't call Yosef, and the reason is because you can't say that Yosef and Nichnas can be called Omer al-Gabba. But in terms of the effect in Halacha, it's similar. Because both of them, you have to say a similar effect of Mirtas. Okay. Now let's go back to the Braith. So we said Kayosa by Mata Dikuria Shopipod, and if you find the Kusi with a string or basket of birds, Kakea Roshakola, we said you chop off the head of one of them and offer it to him to eat, see if he eats it or not. So the problem is Amai. Now why does that work? Leichosh Dilma Hai Hudava Shopit Shakir. What if that one happens to be the one that he shefted properly and all the other ones are not, and therefore he's gonna say, good. I got lucky over here, he gave me the one. That's it. The answer is Omer of Menashe. So the Menashe gives an answer. And before we get to the answer, we have a simen, Machnis Ismil Vizchorim. This simen is a simen for three statements in Halacha that a Menashe says in Or Masechta. This one over here about Machnis and Tachos Knafa, which we're going to say now. The Ismil one is later on in the second parak. And the third one, Vizchorim, is a din in the third parak. Those are the three dinim that a Menashe said in Masechta Chorim. So the answer over here is machnis and tachas knafa. What you do is like this. You take the string or basket of birds, the yid takes it and puts it under his coat. Then he takes out one and gives it to the kuti. So now the kuti has no way of knowing which one it was.
Oh.
Yeah. So the question is, okay, but what if the kuti had secretly made a simon on it, so now when you take it out, he can recognize that this is the one. Well, no. The answer is, Amr Mashaushia. The answer is, Rav Masharshi says, you're right. What you're going to have to do before you give it to him and offer it to him to eat, you're going to have to squeeze it or otherwise, you know, like, mush it up a little bit, in order that if there was any simen on it, then it's gone.
Okay.
By the way, these are cranberries, huh? The pasture, I mean, who's going to eat raw meat? The fascists are talking about. We're talking about
real, desperate for a sale.
Yeah.
What is cooking before he does
the sometimes, but the point is, he wants to make a sale. He doesn't care. He wants to make a sale. He doesn't care if a yid's going to eat the payload or not. Yeah. No, he'll care for himself. He won't care for himself.
That's the way.
He gave him a kazayas, that's the point. If he gave him less than a kazayas, then it wouldn't work, because what if they only maxed it on a kazayas? Let's see. Okay, so that's it. Yeah. By the way, there's another point also that one of the portion brings up, that how the cloud do you have, I mean, a bird is a barrier, it's not bottle anyway. So a bird is a barrier, it's not bottle. So therefore, if the kusi is going to hold by the din of a bissel or not, then he's not going to eat it either way, because he's not going to know whether there are some kosher and some not kosher on them, then how, and an answer that's given is actually we are talking about raw ones over here. We're talking about they still have their feathers on, and in that case, it's not a chafshichad or really scabbard. It's not the kind of thing that you would say is important and is not bottled. So therefore, it can be bottled.
That's why you have to
mush it up a little bit in order that any simen that's on this. But no, what it would mean is obviously he's not going to eat it raw with the feather. You'd have to de-feather it, cook it, and then see if he's there. Okay. Fine. Right. Yeah. Okay, so now the question becomes, v'duma kasavri kusim en shchita lo'ofen ha-torah. Okay, but we have another problem. The chlal, maybe the kusim hold that birds min ha-torah do not have to be shechted, which we're going to discuss that point later on in the second question. Because the Torah tells us, Listen, first of all, you have the concept of melissa, but second of all, because where do we see, where does the Torah talk about shechting? So therefore, maybe it only applies to baka v'tzayin. Maybe it only applies to four-legged animals. Maybe they're not Torah, birds don't have to be shechted. We learn it later on in the second paragraph. We're going to learn it from a hekesh. Those Torah for the hem of the oath. But what if the kusim don't hold of that? So therefore, well, he would say, okay, I'll eat from it either way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be shechted. But I won't prove that for you, the yid, it's okay. Okay, so my answer is that. According to your own Svara, even if you were to argue that the Kusim, even if you're going to argue that the Kusim do hold of Shechita, okay, but she hears not the Chalad HaGram of Ikrim Iksivan. After all, it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah the five things that pass off Shechita either. So you would have to ask also then, when you say there's a vacuum of a Korach of a Tzayin Chabot, the Halachas aren't stated in Torah Shalafah, and nevertheless we can be so Mechamem, if we ask him to eat it. Okay. Ella, the answer must be even that. Yaakov, can you remove a little bit of it? Okay, let's try to take care of that. We'll figure something out. Okay. Then no, if I'm muted, okay, then it won't tape and he won't be able to hear me. Yeah. All right, whatever, it's fine. We'll manage. Yeah, we'll manage. Okay. Actually, I think, you know, it looks like he hung up, actually. I don't see his number over here anymore. Okay. Then that should be good. I don't know. No.